This morning's scripture comes from Mark, the 10th chapter, verses 46 through 52. Then they reached Jericho, and as Jesus and his disciples left town, a large crowd followed him. A blind beggar named Bartimaeus, son of Timaeus, was sitting beside the road. When Bartimaeus heard that Jesus of Nazareth was nearby, he began to shout, "Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me." "Be quiet," many of the people yelled at him, but he only shouted louder, "Son of David, have mercy on me." When Jesus heard him, he stopped and said, "Tell him to come here." So they called the blind man. "Cheer up," they said. "Come on, he's calling you." Bartimaeus threw aside his coat, jumped up, and came to Jesus. "What do you want me to do for you?" Jesus asked. "My rabbi," the blind man said, "I want to see." And Jesus said to him, "Go, for your faith has healed you." Instantly the man could see, and he followed Jesus down the road. This is the word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Long, long, long ago, before there were 24-hour teller machines, before there were debit cards, before there was Apple iPay on our phones, there was this instrument called a blank check. And people used that to pay their bills. But a blank check had a deeper meaning than that. The phrase blank check meant something so much more. It meant the sky's the limit. It meant you could do anything. It meant there were no boundaries. So who wouldn't love a blank check? And that's the reason I have never forgotten my blank check moment. It was 2 weeks before my birthday, and my oh-so-sweet, not-so-romantic, pathologically frugal husband came to me and said, "Sherry, we both know I'm not good at buying gifts. So this year, for your birthday, if it's okay with you, we're going to do something different. I'm going to give you a blank check, and I'm going to sign it, and I'm going to write Sherry's birthday present on the memo line. And I want you to take that blank check, and I want you to go buy your birthday present. Buy anything you want. Money is no object." Oh my gosh. Now, I will say my first reaction was suspicious. I almost said to him, "Who are you and where have you put my husband's body?" But then I realized what an amazing gift that was. I mean, really think about it, a blank check. Are you kidding me? It was like the best gift ever. It was like a dream come true. And the moment that word dream passed through my consciousness, I woke up. And there was, I know, there was my oh-so-sweet, not-so-romantic, pathologically frugal husband sound asleep with no blank check inside. But what if it was true? What if someone gave you a blank check? Wouldn't that be amazing? I mean, what would you do with it? It would be astonishing. It's a wonderful idea to consider, and best of all, we see a blank check moment in our story today. But before we jump in, I'm just going to confess my biases this morning. You need to know this up front. This may be my favorite Bible story in the New Testament. I mean, I just love this story for all kinds of reasons, and I'm going to get really geeky about it today, so you just need to get braced. The first reason I love it is because it is one of the most theologically rich Bible stories in all of Scripture. Every single detail proclaims the gospel of Jesus Christ. I mean, there is layer after meaning. It's just like peeling an onion. There is so much in there that we need to think about, that we need to see. Now, there's another reason I love this story, and it's because I would like to be more like Bartimaeus. I mean, I love Bartimaeus. He knew what he wanted. He knew what he needed. He knew who could give it to him, and he didn't mind making a scene in public so he could get it. Now, I'm a reserved person, and I get embarrassed very, very easily, and I would love to be more like Bartimaeus. I really would. I mean, when I read that scripture at the 10 o'clock service, it was hard for me to kind of say that part, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me, in a louder voice. So I wish I was more like Bartimaeus. And then the final reason I love this story is because we've just finished a 3-week series, Hollywood Jesus, where we were trying to see Jesus in unexpected places. And this morning, now we have a story where a blind man shows us where to see Jesus. I just find that very, very interesting. But now, back to our story this morning. Did you hear the blank check moment? I mean, you know what's happening. Bartimaeus is a blind beggar by the side of the road. The crowd is calling for Jesus. He knows he's there, so he calls out to Jesus, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." And Jesus stops, and then here it comes, the blank check moment. Jesus says, "What can I do for you?" Bartimaeus did not hesitate. He didn't have to think about it. He didn't have to ask advice from his friends or neighbors or acquaintances. He didn't have to sleep on it overnight. He did not have to process it. He did not have to pray about it. He knew exactly what he wanted. And he said, "Rabbi," which means teacher, "Rabbi, I want to see." And Jesus looks at him and says, "Go, for your faith has made you well." And Bartimaeus was blind no more. Astonishing. I mean, it was a miracle, pure and simple, when Jesus healed that beggar by the side of the road. But here's the thing, it's far more than a miracle. This is not a simple healing story this morning. This story is critically important, and part of that is because of placement. This story of Bartimaeus is kind of the bookend of a long series of stories in the Gospel of Mark that are connected by this theme of blindness. It begins when Jesus heals a blind person in Bethsaida. It ends with Bartimaeus this morning. And in between, we hear story after story about how people are spiritually blind. People who know Jesus, who say they follow him, but they cannot see him for who he really is. And for those of us who follow Jesus, that should give us some pause this morning. So if you would like to go deeper into this story, I encourage you sometime this week, read chapters 8 and 9 in the Gospel of Mark. Just some really powerful stuff in this story. The other thing I really want to encourage you to do, and you're going to get tired of hearing me say this morning, I want you to see what is going on in this story. I really want you to slow down and see it. But there's a problem. We don't slow down much anymore, do we? But we just don't. We're so distracted. There's so much going on. We just get flooded with information 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. It's just hard to slow down. It's hard to concentrate. It's hard to see. You are looking at a woman who lost her cell phone and her car keys and her church keys for a day and a half last week. It is hard to pay attention, and it is hard to see. But every once in a while, God reminds us of how important that is. Several years ago, I went on a clergy retreat up at Camp Sumatonga. That's our Methodist church camp. Beautiful place. If you ever get a chance, please go up there. And it was a perfect October weekend. Blue sky, temperatures in the 60s. It was just a beautiful weekend. We had great speakers. We had great worship. We had wonderful music. Lots of time to visit with everyone. But we spent most of that beautiful weekend inside. So when the opportunity came for breakout groups, I picked the prayer walk. Not because I'm an outdoorsy kind of person, because I'm not. I picked it because I was tired of looking at the four walls of Green Auditorium that weekend. So we get down to the beginning of the trail, and our instructor says to us, "Here's what we're going to do today. We're going to slow down. We're going to breathe. We're going to walk, and we're going to see what we can see and how God might speak to us through what we see." And I'm thinking, okay, I can do this. So we walk along, and about a third of the way up the trail, he stopped us and he said, "Has anybody seen anything?" And the guy standing next to me said, "Yes, I have." You know that big outcropping of rock back there? There was a tiny little sapling growing out of it. It looked like it was growing out of solid rock. And the minute I saw that, I realized if I will just be faithful, that anywhere God plants me, I can grow and flourish. Whoa. Talk about a theological statement. I mean, that really spoke to me. And maybe it speaks to one of you this morning as well. So we continue on down the trail, and we get to this really steep part, very rocky, very hard to walk. And one of the ladies with us, she just couldn't manage that. But there was a side trail that she could take, which was much flatter, and she was going to meet us down the trail. And that's exactly what happened. A couple of more miles down the trail, she came back with us, and she had seen something. This is what she said. You know, sometimes in life, we think we're on one path, and suddenly we are on another. But if we pay attention, we will always get back to the place where we belong. I mean, it was like that the whole time. Who knew this stuff could happen if you only went outside? I mean, it was an amazing experience. We kept seeing things and God speaking to us through those things. So that is the reason I'm telling you this story this morning. I really want you to start seeing God in all kinds of places. Those God moments, those God flashes when suddenly right there in front of you, you see God. Because you can see God in our gospel story this morning. So, what is the first thing we see this morning in our gospel story? First thing, Jesus. Jesus. Yeah, I know what you're thinking. Thank you, Captain Obvious. You're welcome. I'm happy to do it. The first thing we see is Jesus. But we have to see a little deeper. Remember what the scripture said? Jesus and his disciples had been in Jericho, and now they're leaving. They're going to go up to Jerusalem. That happened a lot, but this time is different. This is the last time he will ever go to Jerusalem. And as he leaves Jericho, he begins to predict his death over and over again. So in that moment, as he leaves the city of Jericho, Jesus knows what is in front of him. He knows that he is going to Jerusalem to die an agonizing death. That had to be a burden on his heart. It had to be a burden on his heart. Yet Jesus still had time to spend with a blind beggar by the side of the road, a man who had absolutely no worth at all in that time or in that culture. Do you see what that means for us? It means that Jesus always has time for us. He always has time for us, no matter what is going on in our lives. And sometimes the stuff that is going on is not that pretty. I'm so blessed to be a pastor because I get to spend time with people. And a lot of people come and talk to me, and they just share their stories with me. And I love that. It's an honor to listen to someone's stories. But sometimes the stories are painful. You know, not everybody lives a good, perfect life. There's pain, there's suffering, there's regret. It's hard for people. And when I hear those kind of stories, I always say at the end of our time together the same thing. And this is what I say to them. I look them straight in the eye and I say, God loves you. Jesus loves you exactly where you are right here, right now. And I say that because it's the truth. How do I know it's the truth? Because of today's story. Because Jesus had time for a blind beggar by the side of the road. And that means he has time for us as well. But we're not done seeing something important in this story. Look what else happened to Bartimaeus. When his sight was restored, maybe for the very first time in his life, he saw something. What did he see? Right in front of him. Right in front of him, he saw the face of God. He saw the loving, forgiving, merciful face of Jesus Christ. And he knew without a shadow of a doubt that God loved him. And Jesus says to him, your faith has made you well. And that's something else we need to see in our story today. I mean, when we think about Bartimaeus, we know that he knew what he wanted, and he knew who to ask to help him. But when he says, "Jesus, Son of David," that is far more than a phrase. When he says that, he is making a powerful political statement. When Bartimaeus says, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on us," he is reflecting the deep need of the Jewish people to have a Jewish king to reclaim the throne of David. I mean, that's a dangerous thing to say out loud. What if the Roman authorities heard? And that's the reason the people are telling him to be quiet in the story today. But Bartimaeus, he will not be quiet. And that's something else we need to see this morning. In fact, he yells it even louder, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." And this time when he says it, he is making a theological statement as well. He is telling us that Jesus is the one. He is the one who has come to heal us and to save us and to make us whole. But that forces us to ask a difficult question this morning. Do we believe in a Jesus that can heal us? I mean, do we? Well, I think the answer is between yes and kind of sorta. I kind of think that's where we are this morning. Now, we're all here for a variety of reasons, and that's okay. Some of you are here because you do believe in Jesus, and that is a good first step. And some of you may be here because you're not sure, but you want to hear more about this Jesus. You want to know more about this Jesus before you make up your mind, and that is better than okay. I'm glad we're here to see this story. But here's the thing. I think we may be asking the wrong question this morning. Instead of asking if we believe in Jesus, maybe we should be asking if we trust him. Because there's a difference, you know. Look what Bartimaeus did. The deepest desire of his heart to be healed, to be able to see again. And who did he turn to? He put that deep desire into the hands of Jesus Christ because he trusted him with everything he had. Are we ready to do the same? I mean, we say we believe in Jesus, but do we trust him? Well, some of us have had to trust him. Some of us here have had to trust him. Some of us here have trusted him because life has forced us to trust him. There are many people in this worship space that have sat by the side of the road and cried out, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." We have said it in hospital waiting rooms while the doctors and the nurses are fighting to save someone we love. We have said it standing by an open grave as we say goodbye to family and to friends. We have whispered it in the dark of the night when we have tried to figure out how we're going to pay our bills, fix our marriages, save our children. "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on us." We say it because it gives us hope, and we cannot live without hope. Yet there is a problem. We live in a world that doesn't always believe in hope anymore. There's a saying in the military, hope is not a course of action. Hope is not a course of action. And that's what the world teaches us over and over and over again. And that's why Bartimaeus continues to ask us a question this morning. Do you see what I see? Do you see, in a world where everyone has an agenda, there is someone to trust, a God who will love and care for you, regardless of how old you are or what school you went to or what car you drive or the size of your bank account? Bartimaeus continues to ask us, do you see what I see? In a world where strings are always attached and there is no such thing as a free lunch, there is someone that you can trust, and you can receive the mercy of God with no questions asked. Bartimaeus wants us to see and to know once and for all that Jesus is alive and well and among us. And that's why the church, for the last 2,000 years, has confessed and celebrated that Jesus Christ is Lord, the only truth that we ever really need to see. Do you see what I see? He asks us this morning. In a world where the divisions between us grow deeper and deeper and deeper every single day, Bartimaeus reminds us that inside this place it is different. When we get it right, it is different. This is a place where you can admit your mistakes and acknowledge that you are wrong. And you can do that in here because your life does not depend on being right. Your life depends on the righteousness of God. That is what Bartimaeus wants us to see this morning. But God bless us, everyone. We just get so busy, and sometimes we do not see what is right in front of us. But some days, God shows up and shows us and reminds us. I've been blessed at all of my appointments when I was an associate to have great senior pastors. And one of my previous churches, my senior pastor told me this story, and I will never forget it. On those weeks when I'm having a bad week, on those days when I'm tired and discouraged and hope seems very far away, I always think about this story. I always think about this story. He had had a really bad week that week at church. Sometimes that happens to pastors. Too much to do. It had been a long Sunday that day because he preaches three times in a row. And I'm here to tell you, when you do that, the only thing you want to do on Sunday afternoon is take a nap. He finished the 11 o'clock service. He went out into the narthex and he shook hands with people and he hugged the children and he smiled and he had conversation. He did everything he was supposed to do. But inside his house, he's thinking, I am so tired. I cannot wait to get home. I cannot wait to get home. He was just worn down. And all of us here, we know something about that, don't we? So he takes the back way out of the church because he just can't smile one more time. He cannot shake one more hand. He cannot even hug one more neck. There's one set of stairs he has to go down before he gets to the door. And when he looks down at the bottom of the stairs, he's thinking, oh no, it's one of our young family of the church, mom and a dad and their little four-year-old girl. And he says, okay, I can do it one more time before I get out that back door. But then as he continued down the stairs, he realized he was not the only tired person on those stairs. Mom and dad looked exhausted, and he knew why. They were living a very complicated life, lots to juggle, family, work, friends, a lot of problems going on in their lives. No wonder they looked so tired. And that sweet little four-year-old girl, the way little four-year-olds like to do, she was trying to get their attention because she wanted to show them something she had learned in Sunday school. She had a little piece of paper that she was holding up. And if you've ever had children, ever been around children, you know what they will do if you don't pay attention soon enough. They will do this. Little girl was saying, Mommy, 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 Mommy. Kind of like Sheldon in the Big Bang, knocking on the door. I mean, that little girl was not going to stop talking. So the mother, bless her heart, even though she was exhausted, she leaned down and she said, okay, sweetie, what is it that you need to show us today? And the little girl said, I want to show you what I learned in Sunday school morning. And then she held this piece of paper up. Jesus loves me. And she had the paper to prove it. My dear friends, so do you. You have the paper to prove it. In fact, Jesus has a blank check with your name on it. And when it's all been said and done, that is what Bartimaeus wants us to see this morning. He wants you to see that Jesus loves you, and he will always have time for you. And that means that your sins can be forgiven, your regrets will be swept away, that forgiveness and mercy and love and grace are real, and then you can follow him down the road into a new life that is better than you can possibly imagine. That's what Bartimaeus wants us to see this morning. My brothers and my sisters, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on us. And now Jesus says to you today, what can I do for you? Thanks be to God for a love that never fails. Amen. Before we sing our closing hymn this morning, I Know Whom I Have Believed, I want to give you one more chance to see Jesus. And surprisingly enough, it's going to involve closing your eyes. Here's what I want you to do. I want you to answer a question. You're not going to have to share the answer with your neighbor. You're not going to have to write it down on a piece of paper. You're just going to think about this in your mind. I'm going to time us probably about 45 seconds, and that's going to feel like a long time when we're quiet in church. But here's the question I want you to answer. What do you need Jesus to do for you today? Right here, right now. What do you need Jesus to do for you today? I invite you to close your eyes, bow your head, and answer that question. Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on us. Amen.